weekday on 4CA. John McKenzie, 1300 872911.
We're just having a chat here, Luke and I, about a call that came through in the middle of the strong winds and the rising tides and the roaring torrent of the Barron, etc. And it was a gentleman, if I remember rightly, we're just trying to step through it, calling through. Clearly, he was very concerned. You could tell in his voice, and he was at Wangetti Beach, if I remember rightly, saying, "Our communications are hopelessly unreliable up here. I've had to do this and do that to get this message through to you. Can you get out on your radio airwaves a message to Telstra or whoever? Please find a way to give us reliable communications to the outside world, because we are under siege up here." So those memories are coming back now of that particular call, because this information has just been put in front of me, and it's very interesting given the plight of those people up there halfway to Port Douglas in the roaring winds, etc., and the teeming rain. It says here, "Airbridge Networks, a pioneering force in remote communications and networking, has taken a significant step in revolutionising connectivity solutions, particularly in disaster-stricken areas. With the launch of the ARNI control, ARNI, Australia's premier all-in-one connectivity solution, Airbridge Networks is solidifying its reputation as a communications expert for Queensland and remote Australia." Look, this is a significant announcement, because guess what? We're going to be getting the benefits of this technology, I would imagine, soon. Of course, but people, after their experiences last year, can't come quick enough. I've got Doug Stevens on the line, Chief Executive of Airbridge Networks, or Airbridge Rapid Network, ARNI. Doug, good morning.
Good morning, John. Thanks for having me.
If you'd been around 12 months ago today, or it might have been tomorrow, actually, you would have heard that call and said, "Oh, I know exactly the answer. I know exactly what we can do for this bloke." Can you just once again step us through what happens? Like, for example, in that case last year, suddenly communications were totally unreliable. And would yours technology have been available to help those people out 12 months ago, or has it been developed to a higher extent since last year's emergency?
I think the answer is both, John. Yes, it absolutely would have helped, but like any good technology company, we try to stay on the bleeding edge, and we continue to add value to the products that we have. I genuinely think that the solution that we've built, without any embellishment, would have saved lives. And we've actually had that feedback from some of the SEF who've used the product and said, "Look, without a doubt, we were about to jump into some raging, torrenting waters looking for people when a call came through across your system to let us know that they've been recovered and safe." So that stops people from putting themselves in harm's way.
Yeah. How does it work, and why is it available now, and it wouldn't have been available, I don't know, 5 years ago or something?
Well, we've been doing this for almost years now, and I've worked in local government, I've worked abroad, and I've also looked after a portfolio of council customers right across Australia for the last 10 years. And the same reoccurring themes present, that is to say, we need reliable connectivity, we need to have a disaster resiliency solution and strategy, and seemingly every time that takes place, there's two prohibitors. One, people can't get to the connectivity when they need it, first responders and constituents, but also the cost has always been a problem. And it was almost 12 months that to the day that we came up with the idea, and Jasper was approaching, and I said to one of my colleagues, "We can do better than this. We're going to take all of the learnings that we've had through regional Queensland and regional Australia, right through the Torres Strait and the NPA. Yeah. We're going to take every piece of connectivity we can get our hands on. Now, whether that's Telstra or Optus or Vocus or Starlink, whatever it happens to be, we're going to build a solution that ingests that connectivity, right?" Then you've got the upsurgence of low Earth orbit, Starlink, and more carriers and parties entering the market. Mm. And that's just one of the three real pointers that makes ARNI particularly special. So if you mind, I might walk you through the technology. Starting at the top, we embrace multiple low Earth orbit technology solutions. That's going to bring you as much connectivity as you possibly can. We've got mobile boosters on there. So if you've got one bar of signal but you can't quite get a call out, it's going to double or sometimes triple that so that you've got reliable connectivity.
Wow.
We're also going to feed all that in. You can have multiple SIM cards for multiple carriers. You can bring fiber in if it's available. You can use NBN. You can use geostationary satellite, low Earth orbit technology. it's completely agnostic. It focuses on the technology and not by a carrier or someone that just happens to be selling their product. So we take all that connectivity, and then that's where we put, I guess, a little bit of the special technology that sits inside them. We aggregate it, and we build rules around intelligent workflows. So if it's a voice call, that gets priority. But before the voice call gets made, we'll check all those methods, low Earth orbit, geostationary, mobile, whatever it happens to be, and find out which is the one that's least being used. And we're going to route the call through that technology, and that happens thousands of times a second. So that when you're connected to it, you have the best possible solution for getting connectivity.
Tell me about the inspiration for you developing these skills. Do you live up here?
I do, yeah. I'm born and bred on the tablelands.
There you go.
Yeah, Atherton boy. And I always grew up watching my dad come together with solutions to problems that didn't exist. Solutions that didn't exist to problems that were prevalent.
Yeah.
And it was one of those moments at an LDMG meeting where I thought, we can do better than this. The technology's there. Rather than having it in a fixed location, let's make it mobile. And so then we went to our power systems, right? So the next thing to go out is power. We've got inverter generators on board, solar power, Red Arc Electronics throughout, start to finish. We're very much an Australian company. We buy from Australian vendors, and we do all the fit-out right here in Cairns,
wow.
From start to finish. And we export them all over Australia, and are now getting international interest. So we went from one warehouse to now six, full production, and I've got a great team of people behind me that that continue to reinforce and spread that message.
I wonder if that man's listening up there at Wangetti Beach, because a year ago he was desperate, and if he's listening to this today, it'll restore his faith in humanity. Can I just ask you too about, I haven't got it in front of me, but someone said yesterday the government's actually investing in several of these for North Queensland. Is that true? Would it be the federal government?
The state government, I'm kind of embarrassed to say, but I went into a community meeting coming off a ride on lawnmower in a pair of thongs and a T-shirt. And during that meeting, I met with Ree James, who then saw the capacity because we had all these community people saying, this is not good enough, we need better. And I said, look, there is better, I've built it, and I'll prove it to you.
Yeah.
So she took the message right up through the chain. That was then passed on to Mr. Kemp, David Kempton. LNP then obviously made an assembly of government and kept true to their commitment and said, well, we're going to buy 10 of these, and we're going to distribute them into the far north, into places that need this to stop this style of disaster again. And honestly, the units have about 1/20th of the commercial cost of previous connectivity solution methods.
Wow.
And we're talking, it would be accepted to say in many circles that if you can get 100 meg internet connection at your home, you're doing really well. That's a good connection. These units are capable of over 2,500 meg.
Wow.
Right? Now, that will broadcast. It'll broadcast long-distance Wi-Fi, so anyone that can come within a distance of the trailer can then get that connectivity. But this was step one. Over the last 12 months, we've then brought four more models to market. One is the Extend, so we can now take what looks like a backpack and walk it a kilometer away, turn it on, it'll power itself for 12 hours.
Wow.
It will receive a signal from the control, and then it'll broadcast a 100-meter radius Wi-Fi bubble. And you can do that over 200 times to create connectivity across a vast geographic area.
This is amazing. So it's a state government investment, is it?
It is. We've also had a lot of interest through emergency services, QPS, QAS, ambulance services. We've had interest through New South Wales and Northern Territory. It is an exciting time for the business, and I think that our commitment to making sure that the technology is fit for purpose and really not cutting any corners is testament to its success.
In your school years, did you always come first in science matters, science lessons? You must have been ahead of the teacher.
John, I'd love to say the answer is yes, but the fact of the matter was I was insistent on being a pilot. And then when that didn't turn out, my dad said, I think this internet thing might take off. I think you should probably take a look at that. So if he's listening, thank you for that.
That's very funny. This internet thing might take off. Oh, yeah, this is what a fortune teller he must have been. That's remarkable. Look, Doug, this has been a fascinating discussion. We'll have to have more of these. When will we have access to these via Bree James or David Kempton or the state government?
I understand that, and I won't speak for them, but I understand that conversations were progressing in Parliament this week.
Okay.
The timing of that, I know David is a big advocate for his constituents and seeks to deliver outcomes quickly, so I don't expect it'll be long. In fact, he said, look, okay, if we don't get maybe 10 of these, can we get at least 2 and get them into the hands of the people that need them? So off camera and away from everyone else, you can see that genuine, we need to get these units where they're required. So we're scaling and we certainly hope to see them. If I was taking a guess at it, I'd say late January, early February.
Oh, that's just around the corner. Just around the corner, thank God. Gee, this is interesting. I'm so pleased you didn't become a pilot, Doug.
Well, I tend to agree now.
This has been fascinating. We'll stay in touch. Thanks, Doug.
Pleasure. Thanks,
can you believe that story? Just amazing. His name's Doug Stevens. He's the chief executive of Airbridge Networks, ARNI, Airbridge Rapid Network Infrastructure.